This is the Gospel Coalition podcast, where we seek to renew the contemporary church in the ancient gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Colin Hansen.
I'm here with Ben Zobrist of the Kansas City Royals at Kauffman Stadium. And I'm talking to him about his new book called Double Play, Faith and Family First, that he wrote along with his wife, Juliana. Ben, thanks for sitting down with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh, Ben, I was really interested in reading this book, and your dad is a pastor, Your wife's dad is a pastor. I was wondering, what's the best thing about growing up a pastor's kid?
Well, I think the best thing is the fact that you're getting immersed in the Word from the time you're a little kid. So, I have this base of knowledge that I grew up with that has obviously helped lead me to the cross and led me to an understanding of my Savior, but it's really benefited me later on in life just to have that basis as I talk to guys that have questions and without having necessarily had a theology degree or anything like that from a university, I still have a really good base to be able to answer some questions for my friends and teammates and such.
Oh, that's cool. One of the book has a lot about really your love story with you and Juliana, and one of the interesting things I noted there is that you guys never spend more than 6 days apart, right? Which is amazing when you consider how much you're traveling. And I'm thinking also about all that we're seeing in the news right now about pastors and other high-profile Christian leaders caught up in sexual scandal. And I wondered, what do you see as the most important thing that you and Juliana do under God to keep your marriage strong?
Well, it's a lot of communication, and it's a lot of trying to live life together, even though it would be really easy to kind of get into our own separate routines with the baseball life, with her, doing things at home and with music. It would be really easy for us to – it would make it easier on us as a family probably to do separate things and then come back together later. But we just decided at the beginning, the most important thing out of this whole deal is not my career. It's not – it's not that we get to do what we love as much as it is be with who we love, and so if we can stay tight and stay strong throughout that, those challenges, I guess, when we have various things pulling us apart, that's been important. And I think, even now my wife's pregnant and we're getting ready to have number three.
Okay.
So we were just talking through the next month and a half, looking at our schedule and going, this is going to be really hard for us to stay together for 6 days, and there's going to be a couple periods where it's going to have to be like 9 or 10 days.
What's the due date?
November 10th.
Okay, Royals fans are happy. Okay,
we're okay. It's after the World Series.
We're so all right.
Hopefully, Lord willing, it will be after anything we do in the playoffs. So, we're just praying through that and asking the Lord to give us wisdom in regards to how do we prepare for those extended periods of time apart, because it's important. And I think that's one of the biggest downfalls with relationships is when people start living two different lives.
Is this a surprising thing to your teammates? I mean, in the last year, you've been with three teams, your third team, after you've been with one team your entire career up until then. I mean, what is this? Does this surprise people?
At first, I think when I was younger, and that was a priority even when I was younger, they were like, well, what are you bringing your wife on all the road trips for? That's kind of taboo, I guess, when you're a young guy, and there's a lot of single guys on the team when I was younger, and I'm like, well, I want to be with her. She wants to be with me. Like, we want to do life together. There are some things about our family that are different, and, people do things differently, and that's okay if it works for their family, but we just decided we knew the divorce rate in baseball, once you within 3 years of being out of baseball, the divorce rate is up to 80 to 85%. We knew that going in and said, we're not going to let that happen. By the grace of God, we have to do whatever we can to stay together and be on the same page and be a team together at home first.
Well, I touched on this in the last question, but I'm wondering, how does God enable you in the experiences you've had to testify to Jesus in what is, I mean, this is a unique role, a unique platform for you. What does that look like?
Yeah, well, it is using some of my background and some of the knowledge that I have, but it's also the passions that he's given me in regard to spiritual gifts and just wanting to use things that I've already known. You know, I have a really strong desire for the local church and to see people grow in the local church. I believe that that's the ordained institution in Scripture, and I want to see that happen even for people that are not in the same place, that are in kind of a transient culture like baseball, and I want to see them connect to the local church. So that's been important for us to connect with our local body of Christ in Nashville, Tennessee. Yeah. And those people are kind of our lifeline at times, you know. We try and stay in touch. They come visit us during the season. We have family that are believers that keep us accountable, and people that we're constantly in contact with that, you know, kind of can feel and see how we're doing spiritually. Yeah. And those things are really, really important for us in regards to staying focused and then being able to be used by the Lord even in this atmosphere.
Let's talk about that, because the book, you use an incident where that came into play, where your pastor comes to visit you. I think it was in Boston, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. After you've been brought back up to the major leagues, after you've been demoted before. Give a little bit of the background of that story. I really thought that was the most compelling part of the book. And talk about how your church and your pastor in particular played a key role in helping bring you out of that spiritual funk.
Yeah, well, I had been kind of depressed and not wanting to tell anybody. You know, you want to be this big, tough athlete that, you know, never has any issues. Plus, I was playing professional baseball. Like, what real issues do I have, you know, to complain about? And so we just, even though I wasn't doing well, and Juliana knew I wasn't doing well because she was at home with me every day.
And traveling with you.
Neither
on the road.
I think, and still traveling with me. I think a lot of us had a lot of pride in just the fact that we didn't want to look like we didn't have it together. And I think that was a point where the Lord just said, hey, look, you got to realize you don't have it together. Like, that's the beginning. That's not the, I just knew that we needed to do something, but we just, neither of us were willing at the time to do anything about it until we realized we were at the end of our rope. That's when Juliana finally, you know, she was ready to leave me. Juliana finally called our pastor Byron Yon and said, hey, you know, we're not doing well. He basically said, you know, how quickly, you know, can Ben wait until I get there in 2 days, basically, and flew out on his own dime and took care of confronting my sin and the things that I was going through at the time that I wasn't willing to repent about until I realized kind of the issue that was under the surface there. So our pastor was a key in us knowing where to go. I'm glad we knew to go there, as opposed to, even if we didn't necessarily want to tell our parents for them to worry, we didn't necessarily want to tell people that were seeing us every day. We knew that we could go to our pastor, and we knew that our elders and our church would support us through that.
It's interesting. You were actually, you talk about playing AAA in Durham at the time in the Tampa Bay Rays system, and you actually were playing really well. In that, I mean, talk about the disconnect between just on the field performance, but then, drawing the curtains during the day. I mean, really kind of depression.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing, is there's so much of what happens when you're in the public eye all the time that's a facade, you know, and you have to kind of put on this face and present like, you know, you're happy all the time, even though I know that there's a lot of guys that play this game that may be really successful, maybe have everything that the world has to offer, and still are not at peace in their hearts, you know. I think that's common for anybody that has kind of achieved something that they always thought that they would be fulfilled by. Yeah. And then when it doesn't fulfill you, you realize that there's got to be something more. You know, I didn't even realize that success was such an idol for me until that point. And it was at that point that the Lord really opened my eyes to letting him be my identity more than anything.
Well, you don't realize it because you were extraordinarily successful. I mean, in 1 year, you go from single A to the majors.
Yeah.
I mean, that just really does not happen. It comes through a trade when you end up with in the Rays system and then get called up with them. We often think of professional athletes as when you win the Super Bowl or you win the World Series, that's when you have the opportunity to testify to Jesus, and you thank Jesus for that. But it's interesting that we often see that actually it's when we fail and have to throw ourselves on God's grace that's when we actually testify. Tell maybe the beer story from the book with your teammate when, you know, trying to help you through this and how that helped you to see your sin.
Well, you know, that's an interesting conversation because alcohol has always been a very touchy issue,
right?
You know, within Christian circles, and I had kind of made that an idol in a way,
yeah.
where I'm never going to have a drop of alcohol. That's, you know, that's wrong. It's never okay to do that, and that was the stance I always took up to that point. And then realizing, like, okay, maybe I am making a big deal out of things that are not such a big deal, and maybe I am putting a lot of spiritual pressure on myself.
Yeah.
That I shouldn't be putting on. And I wasn't going to go hog wild and do something really stupid. But at the time, I, you know, this guy's like, hey, just have a beer and, you know, chill out a little bit. Right. And so I did, and it didn't help. It wasn't the you know, anything that really helped.
Kind of led to an argument with Juliana,
yeah,
actually.
It did. Yeah. And it was kind of like it ended up being, you know what? You really need to realize what's going on here. This is about your heart. This is not about any sort of external pressure, external expectations that you have of yourself. It's about what's going on inside, and the only thing that can change that is the Lord, is your relationship with the Lord, and getting to the point where He is my satisfaction, He is what I need, and He's what I depend upon instead of my own righteousness.
What does that look like in baseball? Talking about that success you had, I mean, you played well at every level, you got promoted fairly quickly. But baseball is fundamentally a failure game.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. I listen to these interviews after people win the Super Bowl and World Series and stuff, and I kind of sometimes I'm like, well, we're missing it. If we're believers and we're telling people, hey, look, you work hard and do it as unto the Lord, and He's gonna bless you and you're gonna be successful. Like, that's not what this life is about. And I hear people use Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," as like their pump up verse that's going to, you know, allow them to do things on the field that they've never done before. And when you really look at that passage, the Apostle Paul is saying, I can even do jail and misery, right, and weakness through Christ who strengthens me. And so for me, I have to realize, like, if that's the truth, then when I fail, I need to give God glory just as much as when I succeed. I need to realize that that's within His plan, and if that brings Him glory, if through that people can see that my hope is not in my success or failure, it's in Him, then so be it. You know, let that be for God's glory. And that's hard to accept a lot of times because you're out there to do a job, and you want to do your job well for your organization, and you want to do it well for your family and for your teammates and everything. But at the end of the day, even after you've given everything you have, if it wasn't enough that day, you can still say, thank you, Lord.
It's a long season, uniquely so in baseball. Major pressure. I mean, you're on television every single night. Constant travel. We mentioned that before. You talked about how the Word sustains you, that which you learned as a young child in the church. You talked about the local church. We mentioned your pastor coming to visit. But what else do you do to keep spiritually sound? What are some books that you read or you find that are helpful, some theologians you turn to, or, you know, what does that look like?
Yeah, well, I mean, I love to read. There's been a lot of books that I've read over the years. One that generally comes to mind when people ask that question that kind of really hit me, it was a couple years ago I read the book Five English Reformers by J.C. Ryle. And and that book, you know, just reading the things that some of our brothers and sisters in Christ went through back in the Middle Ages and through the persecution of the church and the Reformation and things like that, it's just like, if they can do that, if they can deny their whole world for the sake of one theological point that they believe matters for eternity, and, you know, then I can certainly stand up against, you know, the very little persecution that I face, you know, on a daily basis, or the struggles that I might go against, you know. And so those kinds of things just bring perspective, I think, to what I'm doing.
Go ahead.
I'm playing a game, you know, for a living, and I'm having a blast doing it. And you think, oh, well, I'm tired, or I'm this, or I'm hurt, or this or that. And there's really, you know, I mean, when you look at what people have gone through for the sake of the gospel, like, if God asked me to do whatever He asked me to do, I shouldn't have to complain. I shouldn't be complaining about anything in my life.
You mentioned a little bit of persecution. Do fans give you a hard time about your faith? Other teammates sometimes? I'll just give you an example. You're new to the Royals. the most famous player that was just inducted into the Royals Hall of Fame of kind of the previous era was Mike Sweeney, mm-hmm. a well-known and highly paid and very successful Christian baseball player. And it became a point of contention at times with his manager at one point, with the fans sometimes, because in frustration, people are always looking for something to blame. Mm-hmm. Then they wonder, maybe we're not good because our best player's a Christian. You know, maybe that's a problem there. What does that look like for you?
Yeah, you know, we have never faced anything like that. Everyone in Tampa Bay, when we were there, was so kind and gracious about that. I mean, there were some times where Jules would hear things, mostly through social media these days, where you hear things, people kind of hiding behind the screen a little bit.
Yeah.
But very few people in our face would be angry or call us out or say that something negative about our faith. Most people were really nice about it. But I think that the struggle for us more than anything is, how do you remain focused on heaven and focused on the Lord when there's so much given to you in this life? You know, when we're experiencing all these things that other people work their whole life towards and think is going to satisfy them, how do we not allow our flesh to take over and be focused on the money, the fame, the position, the enjoyment, the pleasure that we receive playing a game for a living? You know, those things are... Yeah, it's a great blessing, but at the same time, it could really be the deceitfulness of riches that could choke out the fruit from being born if we aren't careful. So those are things we really want to be careful of and just try and focus on the Lord. And if you receive some backlash from that at times, then praise the Lord, right? You know, isn't that kind of what we're supposed to endure at some point?
Well, let's talk about that. That's a really helpful transition. You're 34 years old. You probably, I mean, you're at the top of your game. You probably have one big contract left. I mean, this is a huge opportunity for you in this offseason. Other than winning a World Series, which you and all Kansas City Royals fans everywhere would love to see this year, what else do you want God to allow you to do in baseball before you retire? You know, how do you want to be remembered for what you've done thus far in your career as a professional athlete?
I mean, that's a really good question. That's something that I tend to ponder quite a bit these days as I get towards the end of my career, I guess, because you know that you can't play baseball forever. And I think the biggest things that we want to be able to be generous, we want to be able to give to ministries and the things that the Lord has laid on our heart. We also want to, do what we can in the clubhouse, you know, in the organization. How can we be positive and uplifting and lead others towards Christ as opposed to away from Christ? You know, and one of the things that my wife has talked about, one of her sisters brought up to her once, is, you know, sometimes you don't see much fruit in an atmosphere like this because we're only with people a short period of time and then you're gone. But a lot of times, if the ground is really hard, you know, maybe the only thing you're doing, maybe you're not even planting a seed as much as you're tilling up the rough soil, you know, and some of these people that we come in contact with have been burnt by other religious people.
Oh, I see.
And so if we can love them and share Christ with them in a way that draws them closer to the Lord and says, okay, maybe there is something to this gospel thing, then we feel like we've done it. You know, we maybe didn't get a chance to share everything we wanted to share, but if we've helped draw them closer to the Lord, then maybe they'll be more prepared to hear the gospel the next time.
Is it a different process when you think about the off season going deep into October? When you think about the off season, is it different for a Christian athlete when it comes to long-term contract negotiations and things like that? I mean, it's kind of, fans tend to be cynical. They always hear athletes talk about, you know, I'm going to be different, or I'll give a hometown discount or something like that. But it seems almost always athletes go where ever somebody gives them more money.
Well, I mean, it comes down to your priorities, you know, and what you want to do the next few years, if that's what you're looking at, you know, and you're not guaranteed what you're going to get offered either.
Yeah.
So, you know, the free agent market is a great thing once you get there as a player, if you're healthy and you're able to give a team some years left of your career. But at the same time, I'm praying just as much as, you know, I would love to go certain places, you know, and I can't say those out loud, but I would love
I'm not going to ask.
You know, I would love to go certain places, or I mean, I've really loved it here, you know? Mm-hmm. So I certainly hope they offer me something this off season. But I'll have to be in prayer and kind of think about our priorities as a family. And yeah, I believe that the Lord can use us wherever we are.
Yeah.
You know, so wherever he puts us, wherever that ends up being, there's people that don't know the Lord, there's people that do know the yeah. Lord, and there's people that we can get a chance to love on and encourage and build up through being in that place.
Well, I'll pray for you about that as well. I'll pray what's best for you and the kingdom, not what's best for me as a Royals fan. So I'll be careful about okay. I'll be careful about all that. Right. Last question for you, Ben. What about after baseball? I mean, you know, it's one of the things so hard for professional athletes. You reach this point in your 30s or in your 40s, if you're really blessed, but you still have a life, another life ahead, Lord willing, if Jesus tarries. And what's next?
You know, I don't know, and that's something I'm not trying to plan out. I would love to have a few things in the works and just kind of be able to choose some of the things that I'm passionate about. But, you know, I know that the Lord sometimes changes plans in the split second. So I'm going to just try and stay focused on him and walk in the Spirit. And in due time, I believe he'll make that clear. Right now, the clarity is let's try and win a World Series here and then see what he presents,
yeah.
You know, and then we'll go from there and try not to get too far ahead of ourselves with a 5-year plan or anything yeah. like that. But certainly I love ministry. I love being a part of the local church. I love studying. I love just interacting with youth. And I even love using baseball. I wouldn't yeah. be opposed to necessarily staying in baseball in some capacity. But I'll probably, Lord willing, if we have some money stocked away, take a little bit. Have an actual summer, you know, with my family where we can go to a lake somewhere, yeah. play around a little bit, you know, maybe do some fun things and then decide from there.
Ben Zobrist is the do-everything star for the Kansas City Royals. He's joining me here today in Kauffman Stadium before they take on the Detroit Tigers at the end of a 3-game series as the pennant race draws to a conclusion as the playoffs are around the bend. He and his wife, Juliana, have written the book Double Play, Faith and Family First. Ben Zobrist, thank you for taking the time to talk with the Gospel Coalition.
Awesome. Thanks, Connor.
You've been listening to the Gospel Coalition podcast. For more Gospel-centered resources, visit thegospelcoalition.org.